Pleasure of serving as your host today, as we have arrived on this beautiful day that God has created for us, and I anticipate that we will have a wonderful and fine study of God's Word today as we continue our study dealing with Beware and Take Heed, the warnings of God to humanity. The warnings sometimes revolve around those things that we should not participate in. And then there are times in which the warnings revolve around things that we must involve ourselves in. In other words, we need to take heed that we do certain things in certain ways, lest there be a problem down the line. You need to beware and you need to take heed that you build upon a good, solid foundation if you want your house to be able to endure the storms of life. And so we are grateful that we can be with you today to share these thoughts with you in regards to both teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so let's see here. I do want to remind you, I like Sister Woodall's. Good to have Sister Higgins and Sister Woodall here with us today. And Rick the Rebel is on. I know the post that you are referring to, and you know, if living for God is rebellious, then I be so, and so shall we all. But this is study hall for the brave, for the spiritual-minded Bible student. That means that we make absolutely no apologies for anything that God has said or the manner in which He chose to say it. We will call Bible things by Bible words, and we will do Bible things in Bible ways. I like that. The Northern Rebel. Wonderful, wonderful statement. I appreciate that so much. Well, let's see here. Where are we and what do we got going for us today? First of all, I want to remind you of the Standing in the Gap lectures, January the 27th through the 31st, 2021. Can you imagine that? That is just around the corner. Well, I know most people, I guess, can imagine because they've been desperately anticipating 2021. Over the last 11 and a half months, maybe. But nevertheless, it shall arrive unless the Lord return again, and we shall prepare ourselves for either day, either the day of judgment or the day in which our lectureship shall arrive. All right, my friends, the phone number today is 405-428-2440. Once again, that is 405-428-2440. You can chat with us on the phone, or you can chat with us by sending us a text on that number. You can go to the gospelradionetwork.org and go to the TGRN discussion window there and chat with us, or you can, as so many do, join us for our Facebook Live. And I see that Brother Furness and Sister Ferris have joined us as well. That takes care of Oklahoma, Wisconsin, Texas, and Alabama thus far. And so we have a good group of individuals here with us today. Let's see here. What else do I know? I want to extend an invitation to you at any time if you're ever in the Nesbitt, Mississippi area, that you would come by and join us. Now, some of you might be saying, if you haven't joined us before, you might be saying, whoa, where is Nesbitt, Mississippi? Well, we're nestled in the northwest corner of the state of Mississippi, just south of Memphis, Tennessee. In other words, we're just about a stone's throw from Memphis, Tennessee. And so if you're ever in that area, please, please come by and join us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. That is 685 Nesbitt Road, Nesbitt, Mississippi, at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. And so we're certainly glad that we can engage in this wonderful Bible study with you today. Let's see, what else do we have? Oh, I want to recognize all of our listeners on WJHF 106.9 FM in the Florence, Alabama area. I want to welcome you to the program and encourage you that if you have desire, then please reach out to our friends and family at the Jackson Heights Church of Christ. You can give them a call for their COVID pandemic hours. I don't know what that is, but I will tell you this, that if you come and visit us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ, we are, at least at this time, we are under our old system, our complete system. You can join us at Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our Bible study, 10 a.m., 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, or you can join us at 7 p.m. That'd be 7 p.m. tonight for our midweek Bible study. All right, let's see. Can't think of anything else that is going on in regards to things that I just make sure that I need to announce, but we're always willing and want to welcome all of our new listeners, as well as all of our listeners that have been with us and our fellow Bible students. So let's see here. All the announcements out of the way. We have a prayer, and then we will have our, what has become our theme song, Walking on Heaven's Road. And I see in the chat window that Christine has asked Anita about her dad, and he is doing good so far. And so we certainly want to keep your dad in our prayers. We certainly want to continue to remember the Rodriguez family, the daughter of brother and sister Obed Rodriguez. Both of them passed away within the last couple of weeks of situation relating to COVID-19. We also want to continue to remember John Schaefer and the loss of his wife, as well as Brother Wayne Jackson passed away, and so certainly want to remember the family of Brother Jackson in our prayers. Oh, Miss Mona reminds me, we need to remember Josiah and Nikki. Now, Josiah Rollo and Nikki Bledsoe are going to be married in 2 days. And so we certainly want to keep this young couple in our prayers as they begin their new journey in life as Mr. and Miss Rollo. But that will be Friday night. So we certainly want to remember them. Let's see here. Can't think of anything else, so let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, and then we'll have our song and begin our study. Our most righteous and loving Heavenly Father, as we come before thy throne of mercy and grace at this particular time, a throne of righteousness, we realize, our Heavenly Father, that we do not deserve to be here at all, save for the fact of thy sacrifice of thy Son Jesus Christ upon that cruel cross at Calvary. The willingness that he possessed, the determination that he had in order to be brutalized by his own creation is beyond measure in regards to calculated love. We realize, our Heavenly Father, that because of that, we can have our sins remitted. We can draw close to thee, that we can be members of the body of Christ, and that we can enjoy all of the rich spiritual blessings that are found in him. Our mind, our Heavenly Father, is also directed toward those who we have recently come aware of, the brother and sister Obed Rodriguez's family in both of their deaths, and especially their daughter. We pray for her strength. We pray for those around her that they might shower her with comfort and with thy word to strengthen her during this time. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, of Sister Anita's father, and we ask that those things that would be difficult with him might be removed, or that he might have the strength to be able to endure the things of life. We pray, our Heavenly Father, for Brother John Schaefer and his in the loss of his wife, and we pray for his strength. We know that having a companion for a long time and losing that sweet companion can be very difficult on the spouse, and so we ask thy richest blessing upon him. We realize, our Heavenly Father, that there are not just difficult things in life, but life is also filled with great joys. And we pray for Josiah and Nikki. In fact, we pray for all those who will be traveling to the Nesbitt area for that wedding, that they might have a safe journey both here and in return. But we pray for this young couple. We pray that their marriage might grow strong, and that they might be a force for good in whatever community, yea, in the world. And we pray that great good may come from this wonderful union. We pray for both of her and his family as they prepare all things and make all things ready for this wedding. We ask, our Heavenly Father, that you be with us now, that you strengthen us. Father, we want to also mention Brother Wayne Jackson's family and his passing. We know that life and death, that death is a part of life, and but at the same time, some are prepared and some are not. We pray that all of those that we have mentioned that have gone on to their eternal reward have prepared their life for such an event as death. And we're thankful, our Heavenly Father, that you have given us this opportunity to be together and to study thy word, and we ask thy richest blessing upon us as we do so. Please, our Heavenly Father, forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Down the road, carrying such a heavy load, sinner, lay your burden down. You're walking on heaven's road, and when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Ain't no people crying there. Ain't no sadness anywhere. Ain't no need to shed a tear. You're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Young folks walking hand in hand, singing with the angel band. Old folks ain't so tired and walk. We're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
friends, I can't think of anything else that would strengthen us more than to be able to pray to our God, to be able to sing great psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and to be able to teach and understand God's Word. Truly, we are a blessed people in this regard. Now, for today's lesson, I want to, and we may wrap things up today, I'm going to try to wrap things up in our Beware and Take Heed. I realize that we could continue this for about the same number of lessons that we did on the mind of man and the psyche of man, because that's really both of these work together. The psyche of man, the mind of man, needs the warnings of God in order to properly be able to view the obstacles and the blessings of life. And so we could have just included this in that particular series, but I do believe that it works best as a secondary study or a study all by itself. Good to have Sister Roberts with us today, and we pray that your sister that we mentioned the other day is doing well, is continuing to do well, and I had forgotten to mention her in my prayers. My apologies for that. But I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles now to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 17. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 17. Now, some of these, beware, as I mentioned earlier in our study, that sometimes beware is all by itself. Sometimes take heed is all by itself. Sometimes beware and take heed are combined together, which should tell us that that is a pretty strong warning for us. So he not only says beware, but he says take heed as well. And I did not see Brother Gilbert earlier, and so I must have missed him. Good to have you with us today, brother, and always good. And we'll have people coming in and out of our Bible study. That's one of the beauties, is it not? One of the beauties of having it during the lunch hour is that we can take a little break, and some of you have mentioned that you have lunch and a lesson, and I love that. And so while you're having lunch, we want to have this lesson with us today. And so 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 17, the text says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Now, in contrast to that, verse number 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Now, this is really the summit of all that the Apostle Peter has written to these individuals that he describes in the first letter in 1 Peter chapter 1 as being strangers that were scattered about throughout all of Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Bithynia and Asia. He calls them the elect, and this is a very special group of people. These are New Testament Christians. They are about to undergo some very difficult persecution from without. And so Peter writes to them in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 12. If you've been with me very long, you know that we've actually covered the entire section of 1 and 2 Peter. But you'll notice there in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 12, he says, As I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this, what he's talking about in 1 Peter, that this is the true grace of God. So we know that whatever is taking place here is taking place, and Peter describes it as the grace of God. It is the true. By the way, that would also mean that there can be a false grace that is out there, right? But this is the true grace of God. And the true grace of God understands and prepares its heart and mind against all of the trials and tribulations of life. It is able to endure those things along the way. That's what the true grace of God is all about. The true grace of God lives as a Christian and lives regardless of the consequences that surround him. You know, 1st and 2nd Peter are really some encouraging books, and especially for us today. You know, it's almost like going back to the Old Testament prophets. They deal with the heart of the matter. And Peter is really laid out in 1st and 2nd Peter, the heart of the matter. And so if you don't want to fall from your own steadfastness, then you have to beware. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to beware? Actually, there are three different words in the original language for beware. One is a very simple word, blepo, and it means sight, but it sometimes includes the ideal of sight with understanding. In other words, I get it now, I see. You see, and that's the way that this word oftentimes is used. There's another word that is sometimes translated as beware, and that's skopeo. Now, skopeo, as opposed to blepo, skopeo means that it is focused sight. In fact, skopeo is where we get our English word scope from. A scope that you look through in order to narrow the focus down. And so sometimes the word is a very focused sight. You keep your eyes focused on that item. And then sometimes it's proseko, which simply means to be attentive and alert. Beware. So when somebody says beware, your ears go up, right? That's the ideal of that particular word. So we are to beware lest we fall from our own steadfastness. And I would suggest that it is important that we understand the relationship of this particular word in relationship to the grace of God. I mean, I want you to think about what we are focusing our attention upon and what we are. Oh yes, I got it now. I mean, I got this. And in fact, it's interesting to me that when you look at this particular word, we talked about three. But this particular word is phalasso. And this is an interesting word because it means to keep oneself, to guard oneself with regards to things. And so those are some of the words that we're going to be looking at when we look at this idea of beware. But here he says, beware lest you fall. Now, being able to fall is contrary to the false doctrine of Calvinism, and a great number of our religious friends believe in Calvinism, and they believe in the perseverance of the saints. That is, they truly believe that once a man is saved, he cannot fall. which makes this warning seem kind of frivolous, doesn't it? Why would Peter tell us to beware of something that we cannot do? Doesn't really make a lot of sense, does it? But we are to beware, so that means that there is a possibility. It doesn't mean that it's a strong probability. It doesn't even mean that it's an absolute necessity that we are going to fall from the grace of God. But it does mean that there is a possibility of falling. And so we must, if we want to continue strong, we must fortify ourselves. Right? That's what 2 Peter chapter 1 is all about. You fortify yourself by obeying the gospel. You fortify yourself by continuing to grow in the gospel. You fortify yourself by remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. You fortify yourself by understanding the inspiration of God's word. And then we need to also, in that beware, we are forewarned of false teachers in chapter 2, and then we're given foreknowledge of the last days. And so in the first chapter, we're told what to do to keep from falling, right? And in the second chapter, we're told that the fallen condition is worse than the first. Now, I always, when I come to passages like this, I always like to ask people, is it possible to be worse off than you were when you were lost in the beginning? Well, the answer to that is yes. Can a person in their eternal state of hell be worse than somebody else? Well, the answer to that is yes. Now, if the answer if somebody gives is no, then this passage makes absolutely no sense. Because he specifically says, notice, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therewith or therein and overcome. Now, notice this, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Now, is that true or is it not? Are there matters that are worse than we were in the beginning when we were in a lost state? The answer to that is yes. In fact, he says it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. It is a better state of lost. Now that seems strange sometimes, but it is. And is it not, by the way, for a dog to eat is not a bad thing. For a dog to eat is not necessarily a sickening thing to look at, except if he's eating his own vomit, right? That is truly a sickening thing. So he uses that analogy to help us to understand that the condition of a child of God who is lost is worse than an alien, we might say, sinner. Now, the third chapter, we're told to beware lest we fall. You see, the warnings that Peter is giving over and over and over again in these. Now, this is all about trouble from within, false teachers within. You have the persecution from without, but now you have a difficulty from within the body of Christ. We must beware on both ends, right? Both sides. We must beware of those from without, and we must beware from those that are within. And so it's very important that we understand the warning here is lest we fall. And notice, we're going to fall from our own steadfastness. Now, first of all, look at that word steadfastness, right? We are solid. We can be on solid ground, as Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 7. We can build a solid foundation, but still yet we can fall from that solid foundation. But here's what I want to focus on. It is our steadfastness. You see, I'm not going to be able to fall from your steadfastness. I can't fall from my parents' steadfastness. I can't fall from the church's steadfastness, that is the local church, the Nesbitt Church of Christ steadfastness. Steadfastness is an individual thing here, your own steadfastness. Every man must build. Remember the warning we gave earlier in 1 Corinthians, right? Chapter 3 and verse number, I think that's verse number 10, where he says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon." And so we ought to be careful how we build, and we ought to be careful to maintain what we have. I love that. Cling to God's unchanging. Hold that beautiful song, right? Hold to God's unchanging hand. You cling to it. Make sure that you never lose sight of that aspect of it. And so there's something here that we ought to guard. You don't guard those things that are of no value to you. Rarely do you guard. I've never set up any kind of system to guard my trash. Now, I suppose if people were getting into it and throwing it everywhere, that yes, that I would guard it. But in reality, the trash is not that important to me. I just don't want to pick it up a second and third time, right? I like what Sister Hoekstra says, "Every man take heed equals an individual action." That is exactly right. That means, by the way, and this is important, that my wife cannot take heed for me. She can take heed to help me, but she can't take heed for me. I can't do it for my children. I can help them. I can give them the tools that are necessary, but each one of them must do the building. If you're a parent, I say a parent at this time, of young or teenage, young Christians, and you're building that, you're helping them build that foundation, it is important that they receive these kind of warnings as well. Transgenerational education, as it is often referred to, is vitally important. And in fact, I'm just going to go over here because Deuteronomy chapter 6 is also one of those times in which we are told to beware. You remember, and we've discussed this, but you remember verse number 12, that a person needs to beware lest when he is full and has an abundance that he forgets the Lord. And if you've been on here a while, you've heard me refer. I believe this is a beautiful platform for a pattern of teaching that should be done in order to help us understand the responsibility of parents and especially fathers. Now here he's talking in general, but in Ephesians chapter 4, he is rather specific, chapter 6 and verse number 4, he is rather specific in regards to the parental and the father's responsibility to bring up his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, the congregation here at Nesbitt, we are studying, and just hold your finger there in number 6. I want to come back to that, but we're studying 1 Thessalonians right now in our Bible study on Sunday morning. And it interests me, the relationship between Paul and his companions and Paul and the churches that he spent time at. Whether or not you're talking about Philippi or Thessalonica, you see when Paul writes to these churches, he is very intimate with them, and he the care of the writing comes through very strongly. So notice in chapter 2 and verse number 7, he says, "But we were gentle among you as even as a nurse," that is a nursing mother, I think is the concept there, "a nursing mother cherisheth her children." You know, our daughter-in-law, our son in Okinawa, they just had a child. This is number 3 for them, and they just had a child within the last, I think, 4 months, 4 or 5 months. We have good friends up in northern Tennessee that were members here just up until this past year, and they recently had, and we've got others. Sister Woodall posts her grandchildren. You know, when they are so young, those first few months and those first few days, they are cherished by their mother. I got a picture just the other day of one of them. They're holding, this morning, in fact, she's holding her child almost right here at the neck, and the child's got a, this is like a 3, 4, 5 month old baby, and she, maybe a little bit older than that, but anyway, she got a thumb in her mouth, and she's asleep, and it's just such a wonderful picture, isn't it? Well, that's what Paul is saying here, was his relationship to the congregation. That should be our relationship. That should be the relationship of every preacher to every congregation that he works for. He is gentle among them, even as a nursing mother cherisheth her children. So notice what he says here, verse number 8. "So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us." You know, I've thought over the years, I don't know how many years I have done this daily radio and now Facebook, I can't even remember. I think I began to do this in San Angelo, so it's been at least maybe 5, 6 years that I've done this daily with few breaks, and I will tell you that sometimes it gets a little weary, but then I think about everyone on here that I would truly miss in regards to our Bible studies. I'm willing to share more than just, you know, more than just the gospel. I share my soul with you. I'll share my life with you, and you with me. And that bond is really hard to give up. There are times in which I've said, wow, if I can't do this every day forever. And then I'm like, man, I just love this. You see, but notice as you go down to verse number 11, Paul says, "As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you," now notice this, "as a father doth his own children." Now each one of those words are extremely important in regards to a fatherly responsibility to his children, that he is going to exhort them. That's the idea of calling your children to your side, wanting your children to be near you so that you can give that comfort, that care and aid that is necessary, and to charge them to lay down a direction for them. The proverb writer would say that in Proverbs 22, right? And verse number 6, that there is a direction for a child, and a father is one who ought to know the direction of those children. So he would say, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But let's go back now to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and let's notice how that intimate relationship of mother cherishing, of father exhorting and comforting and charging his children. Now let's talk about the very practical aspect of that. Because you get down to verse number 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now, one of the things that I always emphasize when I come here is the fact that you cannot teach what you do not know. And the deeper and richer that you know God, then the better exploits that you will be able to do and the better teacher that you will be for your children. So if you spend time with your children, right? Call them to your side. You spend time with them and you spend time with God, then there will be opportunities all over the place for you as a father, as a mother, to be a grandparent, to be able to teach the Word of God. But it must be in your heart first. That's the beauty of verse number 6. Now notice, when it gets in your heart, then he says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Now, the word teach here, and again, I love this text. I've taught it for many, many years in training programs, teacher training, in parental training, but the ideal here is not your general word for teaching. In fact, most of the times that you will run into this word, it's not even translated teach. Now, it does include teaching, but it's more specific than just the generic word for teach. In fact, it's utilized in Proverbs 27 and 17, where it says, iron sharpeneth iron, so it says a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Now we're talking about this concept of steadfastness. We're talking about not falling from our own steadfastness, talking about building that solid foundation, keeping hold of that great foundation. And one of the ways in which parents can help their children cling to the, Sister Woodall, that unchanging hand of God, right? The way that we can help them do that is by sharpening them. That's the ideal here. Iron sharpeneth iron. Well, how does iron sharpen iron? Well, now, iron just laid beside iron will not sharpen. If you take iron and it is going in the same direction, then it cannot sharpen itself. If it's moving away from one another, it cannot sharpen in that sense. Iron sharpens, and that's the ideal here. It's the concept of wet. So you take a knife. I wish I didn't even put my knife in my pocket as I left this morning. But if you take a stone and you take a knife and you take that knife and you wet, that is you, that's right, Sister Woodall, it's friction. So when that knife has to be brought across that stone, and when it's brought, by the way, you can dull a knife or destroy a knife by the same process. If I just take that knife and I begin to pound it up against that stone, it's going to destroy the sharpness of that knife. So I've got to know what I'm doing, and I got to know how the knife is to be brought across, or how that iron is to be brought across that stone in that friction, in order to strengthen or sharpen that knife. The same is true here. If I'm always belittling my children and berating them, and that's the only thing that that's not 1 Thessalonians 2, right? That's not how the mother and the father react to the children. There are times for discipline, Hebrews chapter 11, right? We don't want to lose sight of the fact that even the proverb writer talks about the rod being brought out, and that children need to be trained with the rod. That is certainly true, but we're talking about laying a sharpening tool to help them be able to think, to help them be able to properly understand the things of God and to how they ought to understand life. You got to be sharp to be able to see the temptations of a subtle Satan, you see. He has traps that are laid out there, and devices that are designed to destroy us and trap us in our sin. And so we got to sharpen the minds of our children in order to do that. Now, that's more than just teaching them that there are 12 apostles, or the 15 judges, or memorization tools. Those are important, but it's more than that. I've got to teach children to think. In fact, one of the lessons that we are going to have in our lectureship that is coming up is I thought I had it here, and I do not, but it's on teaching the next generation to think. That is what we're talking about here. Now, I wish we had time to be able to go through, and maybe a little bit later, we need to do that, give some specific Bible principles on exactly how to do that. But, excuse me, that's what we're talking about here when we talk about this idea of wetting or sharpening, you see, our children. You sharpen their perception. You sharpen their understanding of life. Notice with me in Psalm 73 and verse number 21. Psalm 73 and verse number 21. Thus it says, my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. There's our word right there, pricked in our reins. We want to prick their hearts with the gospel and with the goodness of God in regards to that. Listen, if they cannot see the goodness of God in their home, where else will they be able to see it? And so that becomes very important. But now notice he doesn't leave off there. That's not the only thing. He says, and thou shalt teach. First of all, you've got to know it, so you get acquainted with it, right? And then once it is in your heart, he says, then you sharpen the hearts of your children. And you do it, by the way, diligently, right? Not just haphazardly, not when it's convenient, not when some things just happen to be going your way. That's not what we're talking about in regards to things. What we're talking about, every single opportunity that you have, diligently. In other words, I am seeking opportunities to do this. But notice, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. First of all, notice this word teach here now. Well, it says, thou shalt talk of them. That's really the word, generic word for teach. It means things such as a mother in the kitchen doing the dishes or cooking breakfast, and she's singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And I can remember, never forget this, but I can remember being in a campaign in Palestine, Texas, and we stayed there were about 20 of us, and we stayed in one home. They had wonderful provisions made for us, and we would all get up as a team, we'd have breakfast together, and we'd walk into the living room and then into the kitchen, and as we did, the mother of the house and her mother-in-law would be singing as they're cooking this huge breakfast. And it was such a wonderful time to gather. When we sing, we teach and admonish one another, right? And so Ephesians 5:19, Colossians 3 and verse number 16. We're teaching one another. And so we're talking of the wonderful blessings of God. Psalm 145 and beginning in verse number 1, but that particular psalm is a psalm that I think is verse number 4. Let me see here. It's verse number 4. He says, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. All men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. You remember the stones that were pulled out of the Jordan River, one stone per tribe, and then it was laid over on the west side of the Jordan River. And they were set up there so that, Joshua says, when a father of later generations is traveling by with his son, and his son says, Dad, what are these stones? He has now an opportunity to relay the goodness of God in bringing them into the land of promise. There are many such memorials that are like that. Every family ought to have memorials that remind them of the goodness of God. In fact, I will say one of the things that may be lacking the most is the intimacy of the memorials in our life. We just finished with December the 7th, if you're in America, you should remember December the 7th. It's really what got us invested full-fledged into World War II, and that was the beginning of the end of the Japanese and the German and Italian coming in and destroying other nations. And so he says, you talk with them, you sing, you teach. And by the way, notice when do I do this? Some people ask me, well, when? The whole point of verse number 7 is there is never a bad time to teach your children about God. Never. So he says, when you're sitting down in your house, rather than having the television running all the time, teach your children about God. Or utilize that tool as something that you can talk to your children about God. By the way, if you're just utilizing internet tools to teach your children, then there's not a sense of ultimate intimacy there. You need to have words. You need to speak to your children, and you need to listen to your children in that regard. So when thou walkest by the way, when you're out and about, when you're inside, when you lie down, that is at night, before they go to bed, when they rise up, when they get up in the morning, not only is there never a bad time, the writer here, Moses, is actually saying, don't lose any time with your children. Do it at all of these times. Notice he says, when. When you lie down, when you get up, when you sit down, when you're outside, when you're inside. Use all of these times as teaching opportunities. Well, my friends, you can bind and write and utilize every, you know, we have things on our refrigerator. We have things in our house that remind us of the wonderful goodness of God. When you walk into our home, it should feel like a Christian home. We don't have idols to Buddha. We don't have idols to any. This feels, we don't have idols, period. But this should feel like a Christian home when you come in. And the scriptures are found. You know, some homes you go into and people say, well, I don't know, I can't find a Bible anywhere. Well, you know, we ought to be embarrassed if we can't find a Bible in Bible-believing people's homes. Well, my friends, this to me is, if you want to not fall from your own steadfastness and you want to beware, then remember that you have to put the Word of God in your own heart and you have to help it get in the next generation. Well, my friends, I love you. I appreciate the fact of all of the comments that have been made, and I want to encourage you to continue to grow stronger each and every day. God bless, and have a beautiful day.